Biblical Principles for Counseling Ladies is a ministry session we're about to hear from Mrs. Sherry Marcus. Mrs. Marcus serves as a ladies counselor at Lancaster Baptist Church and also serves on the Lancaster City Council. This session was part of the Spiritual Leadership Conference 2010, hosted by Dr. Paul Chapel and the Lancaster Baptist Church.
For this time, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Well, I was talking about a little bit that we came here from Tampa, Florida almost 20 years ago now, and we came in, we were not staying in Lancaster, California, or anywhere else in California, and then we drove in on a Monday night, came to church on a Wednesday night, and we haven't left. We tried, we argued, we drug our feet, we pitched fits, we did everything, and we tried to argue with God, and we could not argue with God. And when we surrendered, the Lord has done nothing but bless us time after time after time, and He hasn't stopped. It's just, I could take 3 days and tell you about the blessings that God's done in our life since we've been here. So in that little nutshell is, if God's working on anything in your life and He's trying to get you to surrender to it, and you just, that just can't be. Just surrender. Just surrender, because guess what? He loves you. He's not going to harm you. He wants to do what's best for you. Even if you look at it and you go, I know that's not best for me. Because we knew that was not best for us here in the desert, but it was. And I love Pastor and Mrs. Chapel. They're very dear to us, and I just thank Pastor for doing the leadership conference. And it's just been a precious walk. It's been the 24 years, and we're starting the 25th. And every year it's like, okay, it gets better and better. It just gets better and better. So treasure your pastor and his wife wherever you guys are at. Treasure them. Take care of them. Okay. I hope that your notes, because what happens is we give our outline like a long time ago. And so by the time, you know, we get to really going through our lessons, sometimes they change a little bit. So I hope it doesn't change much. And I hope that if you have any questions, after the lesson's over, just stop me. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you have. You know what? The counselors, we're always counselees first. Like I said, my journey was self-help. I wanted to know how to get closer to the Lord. And the way I did that was really, truly through God's Word. And the biblical principle of counseling is getting as close to the Lord Jesus Christ as you can get and staying right there. In our Christian walk, and some of the things that we're allowed to go through, the Lord's going to use those in your life to help you counsel with somebody else, because a lot of times until you've been through something similar, you can't relate. If you can't relate, a lot of times you can't sympathize. You have to go through it first. I never had much compassion on, you know, older women until I started menopause. Was that an eye-opener? I went to the doctor and I said, you know what? I said, you know when you say, I want to kill you to somebody, and you're not kidding. And he says, oh boy, we better get you something. I said, yeah, you better get me something. It's getting bad. But you know what? It's that I never could relate to that. You know, I was always in control, you know, type A personality, and you know, and then you go through menopause and you go, oh, I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my hair, I'm losing my mind. Oh, okay. Then the other thing was that I never gave a lot of thought to people that were in constant pain until I started having constant migraines. Of course, that came with menopause too. So, but I don't have a bitter spirit. I never thought of the plight of those that were in wheelchairs until my feet started giving me problems, like bunions too. Now that I mentioned that, I'll just get shorter. So, but you know what? It sometimes takes us to go through a trial or a situation to be more compassionate and to relate. So let's consider the counselor and the must-dos of the counselor. As counselors, there are some things we must do, and the Lord Jesus Christ must be our personal counselor. We've got to turn to Him. Psalm 33:11, the counsel of the Lord standeth forever. the thoughts of his heart to all generations. That's something that always grabbed my attention. The thoughts of the Lord, his thoughts towards us. I don't understand that. Was it Dr. Davison that said last night he doesn't understand why God would send his son to die for us? But I don't understand that God even stops and thinks about us during the day or anything. It doesn't compute. It's wonderful. Oswald Chambers, in My Utmost for His Highest, said, when Paul received his sight, he received spirituality and an insight into the person of Jesus Christ, and the whole of his subsequent life and preaching was nothing but Jesus Christ. I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. No attraction was ever allowed to hold the mind and soul of Paul save the face of Jesus Christ. We have to learn to maintain an unimpaired state of character up to the last notch. Revealed in the vision of Jesus Christ, Jesus is the answer. And you know, you've heard that. I've heard that. We all know that. Jesus is the answer. But are you truly, truly practicing that on a daily basis? We must have a pure and sincere heart before God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior. How can we give counsel unless our hearts are pure? Psalm 139, 23 through 24. All these verses, there's nothing new. You've heard them all before. But are you using them and practicing them in your own life? Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And you know, I always get a little giggle out of that. Because I think, and see if there be any wicked way in me. There's. I mean, I'm telling you, everywhere I go, I get in trouble. My husband usually she knows. Mrs. Weaver knows. But you know what? I go anywhere, and at the end of the day, usually my husband comes home after work, and he says, where did you go today? What did you do today? And I say, well, you'll read about it in the papers tomorrow. You know what? Just stay ready to go to the Lord at a moment's notice for prayer. Stay right with the Lord. You never know what you're going to have to rush to the throne of God's grace for. And, you know, you hear that little saying, you know, keep short accounts. Don't keep any accounts. We can't afford to do that. I mean, if I need God's help, I want to be able to go immediately. So nothing between my soul and the Savior. See, we must live a submitted life to God. How can we expect God to give us direction and counsel if we're not being led by His Holy Spirit? We must live a submitted life to God. How can we expect God to give us direction and counsel if we're not being led by the Holy Spirit? Have we not heard that all week long? Not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Is there love, joy, and peace in your heart? And if not, why not? The answer is with you. Jesus never moved. I'm totally convinced that how much joy you and I, as well as those we counsel, are going to experience as a Christian is directly related to how much you and I are willing to submit our lives to Christ. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Matthew 11:28. When I read those verses like that, I take them so personally, because I know He's the only one that could put that joy, peace, and love in my heart and give me that restful spirit just to rest in Him. 1 Corinthians 6:19 says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Have you given up your rights to yourself? Have you given everything to God? I hope you do that. As counselors, you need to do that because you need to be completely submitted to God. Howbeit, John 16:3-13 says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you in all truth. I am so dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. I don't dare leave my house any day without reading the Word of God, getting on my face before God, and asking for His blessing and His wisdom for the day. Because there is no telling what Sherry could do. No. So, Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You and I are salt and light in the world.
and the world needs it everywhere we go. I was going to share a Walmart story, but maybe I won't. But you know what? Every time I go to Walmart, there's a lot of ladies that I, you know, talk to out there that say they don't shop at Walmart anymore because of this or that. And I go, well, you know what? I'm going to go to Walmart because I want them to see what normal is supposed to look like. You've all seen those emails with the Walmart people, and we saw them. We saw them just the other day. You're looking at, have you ever seen those emails with the Walmart people? Don't Google it then. It's not worth it. Just don't Google it, okay? Don't Google. D, we must have his power on our life. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. E, we must ask for his wisdom. I've already said that. I've got to have his wisdom daily. I've got to have wisdom to know how to counsel. I cannot counsel without the word of God and his wisdom. James 1:5, we all know it. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. I ask daily, hourly. F, we must learn how to handle the word of God. And we've all heard 2 Timothy 3:16. But I'd like for you to turn to Job 28. Do I hear a baby? Job 28. We'll start with verse 12 and 13. But where shall wisdom be found, and where's the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. And then verse 18, no mention shall be made of coral or of pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. And 20, whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? And then 28, and unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Booker T. Washington said, lay hold of something that will help you and then use it to help somebody else. And the only thing I have to answer anybody or to help anybody with is the Word of God. That's the only thing I've got. I've got jokes. I've got funny stories. You know, I've read books. But it is truly the Word of God that has changed my life. And without it, I don't know where I would be. I don't even want to imagine where I would be without God and God's Word. I believe the only worthwhile counseling is biblical counseling, the Word of God, a yieldedness to the Holy Spirit, and a good helping of common sense is all you need to counsel with. And you know what? Common sense is just about gone, isn't it? We must be spiritually prepared to counsel others. The Lord used the following scriptures to motivate me in growth. Many years ago, when I would read Hebrews 5:12-13, which starts out, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Colossians 2:7, you know this, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. And I know for me, this verse really speaks to my heart about why I do counseling, is Titus 2:1-5. And that's the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. You know, in this day and age, that's almost common sense. It seems common sense to us. But you know what? We have a society that believes that people are disposable. Well, if it doesn't work out, that's not the way it should be. We have to tell people, you know, and as the older woman, there are times when you have to help ladies to remember, okay, you're supposed to love your husband. You're supposed to love your children. Because the family verse, you know, I'll give you my family verse. It was many years ago. We were baby Christians, and we were just, you know, trying to get into the routine of going to church and being regular and reading God's word. This was my family verse. Matthew 5:44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. You all know what I mean. If you're married and you have children, you know what I mean. And I mean, I can really relate to this verse, because sometimes you have to remind, you have to love your husband. God made him that way. There's nothing wrong with him. He's just a man. He's just a man. You know, the world tries to tell you. I'm sorry?
D and E.
Well, we'll do that real quick. D is we must have his power on our life. We must ask for his wisdom. And I say daily, and I say hourly. Yep. So, but it's our job as we learn. I mean, you can still be a 25-year-old and be able to counsel someone who's in their 50s, because you've got the word of God. You've got all the answers right here. Do not be intimidated, okay? I ask the Lord to help me, to stable me, establish me, and help me be balanced. You know, because of my personality before, it was like, you know. Oh, we're being recorded. I was going to give you guys an illustration. Anybody know how to work the machine? Okay, they know this is for girls, okay? This is for girls. But I asked my husband one time, I said, don't you just have a bad day every once in a while? And he says, no. And I said, well, you know what, girl, this is how girls go. I said, you're either on the way up with the cycle, or you're on the way down with the cycle. And we're supposed to be in control. You know? So, but anyway, you know what? But, you know, men and women are so different. And the world tries to say, well, they're not that different. We are very different. We are very different. And you know what? God made them that way. God made those guys where they can actually sit there on the couch and not think one single thing, right? Can we sit on the couch and think? No, it's totally impossible. My husband says to me all the time, we'll be watching the movie, you know, and he'll say, can you just sit and watch the movie? No. So I, you know, I pause it, and I run and put clothes in the washer, or I, you know, go and start the dishwasher, or, you know, whatever. We're always thinking. I mean, those things have to be done. So we're always thinking like that, you know, and so our minds never stop, ever, ever, okay? Oh, I don't know why I did that, but anyway, I have not arrived in any way, shape, or form. You can already tell that, because every time I go to Walmart, I get a story. Okay, every time I'm not. Two, the role of the counselor, Romans 5:15. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. As a counselor, you're going to need to show warmth and sensitivity. Or do you have all these lines? Understanding, concern, the ability to empathize, and most importantly, to give hope. I think that's the one thing. With the Word of God, there is no such thing as there's no hope. There's always hope. But you know what? You've got to be right you know, you got to have your mind straightened out with God's word so that you can help others. We're going to have to speed along here, I'm afraid. You know, one day you're going to have someone that may come to you and say, I just don't want to live anymore. I talk all the time about I can't wait to get to heaven, and I can't. It's not a morbid, I can't wait, I'm ready to go home. I say that all the time, I'm ready to go home. I am way ready to go home, okay? But the thing of it is you may have someone to come to you that really is serious about that. You just have to bring them back to the Word of God. People are going to either obey or they're going to disobey God's Word. It's as simple as that. And that's been the message through Pastor Chapel and Sam Davison and everybody who has preached. It's we're either going to obey God's Word or we're not. It's as simple as that. A California woman wrote, no matter how bad the pain is, it's never so bad that suicide is the only answer. Suicide doesn't end pain. It only lays it on the broken shoulders of the survivors. As she ends her story, by the way, to the doctors, nurses, and counselors who forced her to live, she said thank you. And encouraging hope in me when I didn't have any hope at all. It's hope that people are looking for. We're the ones who limit God because he has no limits. B, as a counselor, confidentiality is a must. If you feel like you just need to, you know, I hope you'll pray for so-and-so because, you know, then don't counsel. Don't open yourself up to people's secret faults that they're counting on you to give them counsel and not to share with others. They're not going to learn to open up to you so that you can really help them if you do that. As a counselor, you can't fix the counselee. Sometimes we want to fix. We think that there's a quick fix. Well, there's not a quick fix. All there is the Word of God. The fix is their individual will. Will they allow Jesus to fix them? D, as a counselor, don't expect a reward. Your reward is in heaven. Make sure you're doing it for the right motives and the right reasons. You're not looking for a friend. You don't want them to depend on you. There have been ladies that have called on, you know, left a message at home or here on the church phone, and they're, oh, please call me. They're having a meltdown, you know. And you can hardly hear what they're saying, but you know who it is. And I don't return their calls because my intent is for them not to call and crying out to me. It's to go to God and cry out to God and pour their hearts out to God. He's the one that's got the answers. Remember in John 13, 4 through 12, that Jesus washed Judas's feet, knowing full well he was going to betray him. Every time I come, you know, my regular Bible reading, every time I read that, I go, wow. You know? So, in counseling, you know, some people can kind of do you wrong or, you know, repeat something to somebody else or whatever. Just basically shake it off. Make sure that your heart's right with God and shake it off. E, the bottom line for the counselor is to stay as close to the Lord as we can possibly get in order to live the life that he wants us to live. And you know what? He wants us to live an abundant life. Mark 5. Letter E, the bottom line for the counselor is to stay as close to the Lord as we can possibly get. Mark 5, 25 through 34 talks about the woman with the issue of blood. 12 years, spent all her, you know, fortune, was none better, but she knew and she believed that if she could get close enough just to reach out and to touch the hem of his garment, that she would be healed. And what's so wonderful after having studied that scripture is I wrote to myself, as I reach for the hem of your garment, dear Lord, please heal me spiritually, physically, mentally, and emotionally. Only you can do that as I yield my life and my will to you. Help me to live my life so as to bring glory and honor to your name. I want my life to be a reflection of yours. Help me to be a woman of your word. And as you counsel, you're going to find yourself sometimes that you get weary. then take your own advice. Take some time, rest up, search your heart, your mind, your soul, and make sure you're right there where the Lord needs you to be. And don't move from Him, ever. Now let's look at the counselee, and we're going to have to probably speed. Let me explain the questionnaire. And of course, I didn't keep one. Don't tell Brother Wheaton I did that. Okay. All right. Those of you that don't have a counseling form, let me just explain it to you a little bit. It's just got the name, the age, the date of the counseling, and the here, I'm interested in what adult Bible class that they're in. The first question is that I always ask, and I start out with anybody. I don't care if they've been a member here for 40 years or if they came in off the street to see if they could get some help. One, are you sure without a doubt that you are saved? Because right then and there, if they're not, you've got to stop. You've got to go through the plan of salvation. You've got to see if they'll accept Christ as their Savior. Because guess what? This is all I have to offer. This is it. So right then and there, you know, whether if they're saved, you know, then I go on. I say, have you been baptized scripturally in a like faith church? Because baptism, we know, is very important. Right there, when you're counseling with someone and they, well, I just have never been baptized. Well, you know, you just want to say, all right, so you're telling me right there, you're rebellious. You know you're supposed to be baptized, and you refuse to be baptized. So the red flag. Three, and we'll discuss that. Three, do you believe the Bible is truly the inspired word of God, and will you take counsel from the Bible? So you know what I've done right there? I've locked them in. They just told me that they believe that it's the inspired word of God and they'll take counsel. So down the line, when they start to equivocate, you know, whatever, I go, well, you know, back on number three, you said that you believed and you would do what God's word has to say. Okay, that's just me. I sometimes stop and I tell people, did anybody warn you about me before you came to talk to me? Very straightforward. Number four, are you reading your Bible daily? When I ask them that, what I mean, are you reading your Bible daily? I mean, are you reading a little flowery, you know, devotional? Are you listening to a tape? Are you doing anything? Are you listening to your kids read their Bible verse, you know, for whatever club? None of that. Are you reading your Bible daily? Are you reading your Bible daily? You're supposed to say, yes, ma'am. What did you read today? That's the next question. I want to know, what did you read today? Well, I didn't read today. I said, well, you just told me that you read your Bible daily. I cut no slack, because I'm not going to cut slack with myself, okay? Five, are you spending time in prayer daily, on your face, before the Lord, at least 10, 15, 20 minutes, asking God to give you guidance and direction for the day? Number six, are you attending church services regularly? They say, yes. Are you attending church services regularly? They say, yes. I say, okay, so tell me what is your habit? And then they start backing up. Well, no, is that Sunday morning? Is that Sunday school class? Is that Sunday night? Wednesday night? It's regular. God said not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Okay, number seven, are you aware of any bitterness, anger? Oh, in fact, let me explain. I say, now this is a yes or a no. Are you aware of any bitterness, anger, jealousy, anything along those lines, any emotions along those lines, yes or no? That's all I need right there. Then eight, yes or no. Is there someone you need to forgive and cannot find it in your heart to do so, even if that person is yourself? And you know, I can't tell you how many times that I've said, is there someone you need to forgive and cannot find it in your heart to do so? And they're saying, no. And I say, even if that person is yourself. and then they start crying. And you know what? Right then, a lot of times I will say, you know what? God has told us to forgive everybody. Who are you to withhold forgiveness to yourself? Number 9, how is your health? 1 being lousy, 10 being great, where are you there? Because it really has got a lot to do with, you know, where are they, you know, menopause. I want to kill somebody. you know, and then how are you feeling today? Because the health is your physical. The how are you feeling today is your emotional. So I want to know where they are that day. And then 11, how are your finances? Because we know girls, that's very important. That's got a lot to do with, you know, where we're at. So anyway, that's a quick explanation of this worksheet. And if you didn't get it, please, I'll be glad to make some more copies. If you see me tonight or something, I'll give you a copy. Or if you email me, you can get it, you know, through the church. It's just Sherry Marcus. If my name's there, it's just sherry.marcus@lancasterbaptist.org. Okay, so that's explaining that. Now, I'm was going to really quickly, because when are we supposed to be wrapped up? 2:30? Okay, I'll hurry. Number 1, whom shall we counsel? In the ministries of the local church, you're going to have many opportunities to introduce and reintroduce people to Christ. And just as he met the needs of the woman with the issue of blood, he's still meeting needs today. A, saved women. The people you counsel with are not going to be really helped if they do not believe God's word. I already explained that on that counseling sheet. The people we will counsel in today's world come from very diverse backgrounds and diverse baggage. I mean, when you think you've heard it all, look out, because you can hear it again. A, saved late in life. Saved at an early age but never churched. Saved but not surrendered. They accepted Christ. You know, I accepted Christ as a 9-year-old just through, you know, the summer going to church with my grandmother. But my parents weren't, we weren't in church. And so I never grew until, you know, after I was married and my husband and I got into church. So I was saved. I was saved by the hair of my chinny chin chin, and there was nothing else going on until my 20s. So there are some people that are going to be like that. Saved but not surrendered. They accept Christ as a Savior but won't let him be Lord. That's the big key right there, is let. That's that surrender. And some, you know, sometimes these people, they have things going against them right from the start, like they don't believe in coming under the authority of leaders. They're not church. They don't understand. Sometimes they think it's just a club. It's just a social club. No, it's a way of life. It's Christianity, is your personal walk with Jesus Christ. This is an organized way to grow in that walk. It's not just a club. There's some that are going to have dreadful wounds. Wounds that you and I, we can't imagine. Like I said, when you think you've heard it all, look out. And they rationalize their sins. All you can do is bring them right back to Bible. They can't accept that God accepts them just as they are. That one lady that, you know, just has never forgiven herself because of her past or whatever, she doesn't get off the hook. She has to forgive herself. If she won't, why not? Really, it's unbelief. It's not being obedient to God's word. It's maybe a martyr, you know. So, you know, I've always loved it that the Lord will take us any way we come, but he won't leave us like that. And sometimes that metamorphosis, you know, that growth in Christ, that sanctification is painful. And a lot of times it's so painful that we would rather die. But we're not going to give up on God. We're not going to give up on ourselves. Just hang in there, you know. God's not done with me. I mean, I'm so thankful that he's been so patient and long-suffering with me. And I am not going to have arrived till I arrive, which I will say again, I can't wait till I arrive. Psalm 17:15, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I can't wait to see my Lord and Savior. B, the unsaved. On the back of our Sunday school bulletin, you know, we not advertise, but we say, okay, if you need counseling, you know, call the office. And so there are a lot of people that come in just by, you know, calling. They've never been here. And what I'm going to do is start with this, with right off the street. Are you saved? What does that mean? You know? So we're going to start from the beginning, the unsaved. Years ago, there was a lady that came to the church, and it was one of our students that had actually invited her, told her to come. She was having issues, and I tried my best to talk to her, to try to go through the gospel. She did not want to hear the gospel. She wanted some, I guess, psychobabble. I don't know. She wanted to hear something else. She didn't want to hear what I had to offer, and after a few minutes, she just got up and walked out. And I felt very sad, because she wouldn't even let me explain the gospel. And you're going to have that. You're going to have all kinds. And, you know, all you can do is pray for them. They're the ones that have to choose. They're the ones that have to let God work in their hearts or not. See, the faithful, I will bend over backwards for someone that comes to me that is taking God's counsel and letting God work in their heart and their life and really trying. I will bend over backwards for them. But there are some, I've counseled with a few younger ladies because mom wanted me to counsel with them. And, you know, we'd met three or four times, and I just, that's that wisdom from God, the Holy Spirit, discernment, you know. Answer a fool according to his folly, answer not a fool. That's discernment. You have to ask for that. She was basically telling me what I wanted to hear. There was no counseling going on. And so I passed her in the hallway, and we were supposed to meet that Thursday, and I think this was Sunday before. And I said, do you think there's any reason for us to meet on Thursday? And she just kind of looked at me a little bit puzzled, and then you could tell it. She knew what I was saying. She said, no. I said, well, you know what? When you get serious about your walk with God, and if I can help you, then, you know, come back and see me. And that was it. I let her go. I had to let her go. There was another lady, another circumstance where we had counseled with a family at length, and nothing was happening. And, I mean, it was going on and on and on. And they weren't even members here. And she came in and she started complaining about the counsel that her husband got from Brother Schmidt. And she called Brother Schmidt the devil. And I went, ooh, wait a minute here. And I just, you know, I finished that counseling. And I prayed about it that night. And the next morning, the Lord said, you need to let her go. To protect this ministry, to protect Brother Schmidt, because I know Brother Schmidt is not the devil. I know he can do some funny things, but I know he's not the devil. So you know what? We just had to kind of, we had to let them go. And you pray for them, you send them on their way, but there's nothing you can do for somebody like that. And especially when they start calling your pastors, someone on staff, and someone the devil, okay? Because it's just not right. Okay. Number two, how to counsel the counselee. Direct them to the counselor. Every single time, direct them right back to the counselor. The counselor is Jesus Christ, not me. They're not dependent upon me. They're dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Always, but always make sure you're directing them back to the Lord. And the Psalm 27:8 is when thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The greatest victories that I've ever had in my life have been directly between just me and God, the Word of God, And that's why I emphasize that ladies have to be reading their Bible every single day and going to the Lord. That's where they're going to get their help. Not really from me. B, encourage them in their personal relationship with Christ. And that's, you know, I've already said that many times. 1, give them guidelines to the daily Bible reading, prayer, etc. People do funny things. Remember I said that they will read one scripture or they'll read a devotional. They have all kinds of things in their idea what is really Bible study and reading. You have to tell them what that is. I asked a lady one time, I said, when was the last time that you had a mountaintop experience with God? You know, just that light bulb came on, and it was like, woohoo, you know? You and the Lord, and you have a wonderful, precious, blessed time together. And she says, well, I've never had that. And I was like, okay. Then we went back over, are you saved? She assured me she was saved. I said, you know, something's wrong with that. Because, I mean, that should be your most precious time. There's got to be something there. Then you don't have a relationship with the Lord. You might be saved, but you don't have a relationship. Bless you. But you know what? I told her, just as rules without relationship, you've heard this before, between parents and teens breeds rebellion. You know, rules without a relationship with God breeds rebellion. They have to have that tender relationship with God. 1 Corinthians 1:18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. The preaching and teaching of God's word is power. And I tell these ladies, but you know, only if you want God's power on your life. You'll be here. You'll be here for the preaching and teaching. See, convince them their minds must be renewed by God's word. I talked a little bit about, you know, how different men and women are and how men can just not think. We can never not think. But you know what? I really do believe that the devil uses that, especially with women. Because then he starts to work overtime. Well, what does she mean by that? And, well, what was that look for? And did she say... You know, and then you start taking conversations and you start replaying them in your head. Nobody does that here, right? Well, she said, and I said, And we start to analyze everything. And the devil knows that. And I really believe, as women, he really works overtime on our minds. So therefore, it's that much more important that we renew our minds with the Word of God. And those ladies that weren't saved until they were 30, 40, 50 years old, they've got the philosophy of the world up here. It's got to be renewed. Got to get out the old philosophy and get in God's word. I tell ladies that I counsel too, when they start telling me, well, I read my Bible, but I don't really understand it. And then, and they're going on, and I start doing this, and they just kind of look at me like, what is she doing? It's a supernatural book. Even when you're reading it, just keep reading it. Because as you're reading it, God's word is renewing your mind. It's getting out the old junk. It's putting in the new God's word philosophies, okay? So it's a supernatural book. It is not just another book. I heard Susan Rasmussen say one time, she said she hugs her Bible, she kisses her Bible, I do the same thing. I don't know where I'd be without this. And I tell ladies, until you get into God's word, you have nothing. You know? There's so much philosophy out there. You know, you listen to Oprah or you listen to Dr. Phil, you're going to get garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. You know? Sometimes you listen to them and you go, well, that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Why don't they just say Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? It's God's word. That's a supernatural verse for me. That verse, if I have John 3:16 and Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, that's all I need. I really could get by with just that. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 will answer any situation that you have come up against. Because, especially us ladies, we like to think. Stop thinking. Trust in the Lord. Lean not to your own understanding. And He will direct thy paths. Okay. Oh, there's a really good quote, and I've quoted this many times, but as Satan loves to attack our minds, I read a book called Addictions, A Banquet in the Grave, and I picked the book up because I thought, you know, I might have to deal with somebody with addiction sometime, so, you know, I'll get that book. Oh, boy, did that book rip my face off. And the one quote that it gives you for addictions is that addiction is bondage to the rule of a substance, activity, or state of mind, which then becomes the center of life, defending itself from the truth so that even bad consequences don't bring repentance, and leading to further estrangement from God. I have counseled with people that, I mean, they're doing, I mean, it's like, do you not like yourself? Because they continue to put themselves in situations and repeat things that that's hurtful. That's painful. Well, there's an addiction there. It's a state of mind. And that's that renewing that mind. God's word can straighten that all out. 2 Corinthians 11:3, but I fear lest by any means as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The gospel, Jesus Christ, and his biblical principles are so simple that we overlook them sometimes. Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. 3, problems and concerns of the counseling. Most of the people that I counsel with that have these really huge problems, they're self-inflicted. And generally, it's because they're not yielded to the Holy Spirit. You can throw out things there like bipolar. And this is my personal opinion, is I would say probably 80% of bipolar is just not being yielded to the Holy Spirit, not letting the Holy Spirit lead. But there's also an issue with people that continually have besetting sins. It's because they confess them all the time, but they've never truly repented. Repentance has got to take place before people are really going to change. 3, false expectations and the blame game. The expectations that people put in their minds, this is the only way you're going to get them out. This is the only way you're going to get them straightened out, is to return them to the Word of God. And Psalm 62:5 says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. 4, bitterness and unforgiveness. We went over that a little bit because that's one of the questions. Any emotions like that. And I say that bitterness and resentment or unforgiveness is like you taking poison and you expecting the person that you're resentful or bitter or angry towards to die, and it's never going to happen. You're the one that's going to die. I'm sorry? 1 and 2. Oh, I'm sorry. Number 1 is they're generally not yielded to the Holy Spirit. And 2, you know, some deep, suppressed, embedded, besetting sin they won't face. Sorry, I'm trying to wind it up quick. The false expectations, the blame game. 4 is bitterness and unforgiveness. Hebrews 12:15, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Because your bitterness, your anger, your wrath is going to poison others. Number 3, false expectations, the blame game. Okay, wait a minute. Problems/concerns of the counselee. A, most of the problems people have are self-inflicted. One, generally not yielded to the Holy Spirit. Two, some deep, suppressed, embedded, besetting sin they won't face. Psalm 19:12, cleanse thou me from secret faults. And I encourage ladies to do that when they don't know what their problem is. I say, you know what, it's only you and God can work it out to find out what that is. And we do have those secret faults. Three was false expectations, the blame game. Psalm 62:5 is all our expectations are from God. Bitterness, unforgiveness, Hebrews 12:15. And like I said, bitterness and resentment is like you taking poison and expecting the person that you resent or you're bitter towards to die, and it will never happen. Five, bottom line for the counselee is for them to look to the Lord for their own daily nourishment and encourage them to have faith and trust. Just like those ladies that leave that crying message, I'm not the answer. I want them to go to God. I want them to get on their face before the Lord. 1 Samuel 36, and David was greatly distressed, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's where they've got to go for the encouragement, real encouragement. I just want to encourage every single one of you that's going to counsel, you've got to get yourself as close to the Lord as you possibly can get, and do not move. Okay? That's the most important thing. Constantly, every day, making sure that you are right with God in your walk so that you can actually help others, okay? Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these ladies. Thank you. They've been so attentive, and Lord, I pray that there was something that could help them today. Lord, I pray that you would give them an extra measure of wisdom, guidance, and direction as they counsel others, Lord. Pray that you would bless the rest of our day. Pray that you'd bless the preacher tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
We trust this ministry workshop session was a blessing to you. Plan now to join us in the second week of July for Spiritual Leadership Conference 2011 as Lancaster Baptist Church celebrates 25 years of ministry. Let us know if there is any way we can be a blessing to you.